Welcome to Spectrum from Chat America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our Chat America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Hi, everybody. This is Steve Warren, and welcome to another Spectrum show. You probably heard us talking over the past couple of years, especially in 2000 and just prior to 2000, the decennial census was a big issue, especially among the Chinese American and Asian American communities. And we had the pleasure of speaking with John Yang from the Asian Americans Advancing Justice Organization in Washington. There have been several reports that have been issued since the census has come out. And today, we would like to welcome Terry L. Minnis, who's the Senior Director of Census and Voting Programs at Asian Americans Advancing Justice. So, Terry, welcome to our program. And I'm eager to pick your brain on some of the results of the census. So welcome to China America Radio. So listen, there have been a number of pages and pages, if not hundreds of pages, of results that have come out since the census was completed and published. And now there has been some other reports that have come out that continue to express the fact that the API communities are underreported and therefore underserved by the benefits that flow from an effective census organization. Before we get too deeply into this, give me your thumbnail picture of the census results. And I understand that it continues to be underreported. Is it underreported because the technology doesn't report correctly, or is it underreported because of under-response from the community?
I'll start from the top. The first thing we should know is that for the 2020 census, the Census Bureau actually reported a national overcount of Asian Americans. And when that came out, we were very quick to remind people to understand that a national number is but one piece of a larger puzzle, right? And that is because it's an aggregate of what's happening at lower geographic levels. And what we long suspected and what our report that we just released shows is that, in fact, Asian Americans, Native Hawaiian Pacific Islanders were missed or undercounted at lower geographies, whether that's at the state level or county level, and overcounted in other parts where the national number, because it is the net under or overcount, showed something that resulted in a perception that Asian Americans were perhaps more accurately counted, and as well as Native Hawaiian Pacific Islanders, than they actually were in the 2020 census. So I think that's first and foremost important to understand, that there are intricacies about the count, and looking at just one aggregate number doesn't really tell us what happened. Now, to the point of why people are missed, I think there are a multitude of reasons why that happened. It could be that people are unaware of the mandatory nature of participation. It may be that they are fearful of engaging with the government for different reasons. There could have been language barrier issues that kept people from participating. And let us not forget, this was also happening during the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic. And in fact, the pandemic itself weighed in on the operations of the census, with the census offices having to be closed when they were supposed to be really doing their big push for the count. So all of these reasons, plus others, are likely the factors for why we saw undercounts in some communities.
Is it also a factor that the Census Bureau and the government itself couldn't figure out when it was going to end, and so it started and stopped and started and stopped? And so I think some people didn't know that the census was ongoing, or they had more time to respond. That couldn't have possibly been easy to decipher.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. There was a lot of activity going on with the census that was, there was a lot that made this an unusual census, the pandemic being one piece. But frankly, the politicization by the previous administration was also unprecedented and caused a lot of consternation, a lot of confusion And certainly the stop and start and the lack of clarity as to an actual end date was something that likely drove people to either not participate because they were unaware, or perhaps not participate because they were concerned that there was some type of political interference that would result in the data and responses being used against them. Now, we know that that's not legal, right? That is that the statutes themselves protect against the confidentiality provisions, protect against the data being used against people, against the Census Bureau sharing the data, right? So there is often a misperception that if you give it to the government, the entire government has access to it, but that's not the case. The information that goes into the Census Bureau cannot be shared with other government agencies, whether that's IRS, whether that's with ICE or anybody else. But because of concerns about political interference, there could have been, you know, people out there who did not understand that distinction or did not trust that distinction and decided not to participate.
I guess the fact that it only happens every 10 years doesn't give people much time in between those census years to learn much about the details of how the census works and the laws that govern it. The census results are hundreds, if not thousands and thousands of pages, not only come up with the big number that you spoke of, but also down to the granular level for local things like apportionment and passing out dollars for various causes and things. Was there any way to differentiate from your experience at having probably read every word of it, to differentiate whether the undercount was a result of urban or suburban or rural responses in the API community?
I think it is a mixture. There were many factors can play come into play, and certainly that was one of the points that we raised in our report, was to lift up, here are some further questions that could be researched, because it is difficult to pinpoint specifically. In some places, rural communities could be the ones that were driving it. Other places, it could be the urban side that could be driving it. I think that it is important to different states also engage differently with respect to outreach and engagement on the census. There were some states that put a lot of money into reaching out to their community members, in encouraging people to participate, in making sure that there were culturally and linguistically appropriate materials to engage their community members. And then there were other states. So, for example, like California was a state that, put money towards that. And then other states did not, such as Texas, just put no dollars into doing the outreach and engagement. But even in a state like Texas, there were some cities, for example, say like Houston, that did put in money. So it's very hard to pinpoint one specific factor in that sense, but it is clear that active engagement, investment engagement, makes a difference with respect to people's willingness to participate. And the investment of not just dollars and cents, which is very critical, but also engaging the right partners, the right trusted messengers, to make sure that the community members who are least likely to participate are talking to people that they trust to help educate them about the importance of the census and the importance of participation and what that means for their community, as you noted.
Our guest on Spectrum this week is Terry Alminis, who's the Senior Director of Census and Voting Programs at Asian Americans Advancing Justice, that's AAJC. And I was here in Chinatown in New York, and there was a very proactive passing out flyers, people on every street corner. And it occurs to me that in cities, as you mentioned, even in Texas, like Houston, with a significantly larger API community than most other cities in Texas, but other urban cities, including Boston, Philadelphia, Washington, San Francisco, LA, Seattle, and such, have more API organizations in play. They have organizations for each of the various cultures, Asian cultures, as well as civic and social and artistic communities that are able to actually have some numerical advantage at getting the word out, and some of their own internal resources at telling people how important this is. So it would seem like perhaps as you were mentioning, that the volume of responses in those urban areas maybe were much higher than communities where you still might have hundreds, if not thousands, of Asian American Pacific Islander people, but no organizations. This report that has come out, it's called The Quality of the Decennial Census for Asian American and Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander Communities, an Expanded Approach. So before we button this thing up for today, give us a couple of the bullet points for the expanded approach.
Sure. So the Census Bureau only produces official numbers at the national level, as we discussed earlier. And so our expanded approach was to take another program that the Census Bureau utilizes, the Population Estimates Program. The Census Bureau takes a look at what the population estimates would be every year from between decennial censuses and utilizes things like administrative records to adjust the data. Because the population estimates provide data on Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, Pacific Islanders at lower geographic granular levels, we were able to use that and compare that to the 2020 census numbers and get a general sense as to how that the population estimates compared to the decennial census. And we used that number as a guide as to whether or not an overcount or undercount occurred. Because there are a number of different sources of errors, we're not saying that this is a specific, this place was definitely undercounted or not. But when you look at the numbers and the larger the undercount or the overcount, gives a good guide as to this is likely to have been an undercount or not. And what we saw in the 2020 census, as was seen throughout the previous two censuses that we also analyzed, was that for the Asian alone population, 30% of the counties were actually overcounted, but 68% of counties were undercounted, right? Similarly, if you look at the Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander alone community, we saw 36% of counties overcounted and 55% of counties undercounted. And so again, that just shows that we are missing our community members in a lot of places. So it is very important that as we're planning for the 2030 census, that there is not a false assumption that Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander communities were accurately counted in the 2020 census and thus have no problems with being counted, right? There must be attention paid to our communities in addition to other communities that have been undercounted because we know our community members have been traditionally hard to count and continue to face barriers to participation. So a failure to address these needs or a failure to acknowledge these needs and barriers and thus a failure to address them will be detrimental in 2030 to our community being able to be counted as fairly and accurately as possible.
It's frustrating to have to wait 10 years before you can put some of these things into effect. Do things like your report, even though it's issued by your organization, is the public sector and the industry and the business sector aware of this? I mean, there seems to be a lot of outreach in many of the Fortune 500 companies to attract the API consumers and people. Do things like this report help you in the private sector at trying to indicate that the census wasn't the be all and end all of representing your community?
So I think where a report like this can be most helpful with the business sector is actually to help get them engaged in census advocacy, right? It is true that the census itself won't occur for another 10 years, but the planning and for the 2030 census is happening now, in fact, started. It takes basically 10 years to put a census on, so to speak. The business sector and the private sector has a lot of opportunities to be able to weigh in on policy on how a census should be taken. And they also have a very important role that they can play with respect to doing the engagement and outreach. As we mentioned, the importance of investment. Businesses can also be, a trusted messenger or have access to many different members of society to help engage and educate through just the ordinary day-to-day business of going about our business, so to speak.
Our guest on Spectrum has been Terry Almenis. She's the Senior Director of Census and Voting Programs at Asian Americans Advancing Justice. Terry, it's been great meeting you and hearing your explanation of the census, which I think is way above the grasp of a lot of people once they see the true volume of the data that is produced every 10 years. But thank you again for being with
us. Thank you for having me.
Listen again next Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern for another edition of Spectrum. To hear previously broadcast editions of Spectrum, visit the Spectrum tab on our website to listen or download your favorite past programs. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Spectrum. Now, back to the music on China America Radio.